This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Just days into recovery efforts after Hurricane Milton, some residents in Florida beginning to return to their neighborhoods. Governor Ron DeSantis says they're trying to streamline the process when it comes to getting fuel and prevent long lines.
Our fuel stations that we're doing, normally Florida, like most states, is self-service. This is full service. You don't have to get out of your car. It's like being in New Jersey. You pull up, these guys pump your gas for you.
In other areas, floodwaters still receding. DeSantis says crews have conducted over 1,000 water rescues. President Biden will be in Florida tomorrow to survey the damage. Vice President Harris released details of her medical exam records today. Her physician in a letter states Harris is in excellent health and able to perform all the duties as president. Former President Trump in Nevada. He'll participate in a roundtable event this afternoon and later heads to California. Severe heat continuing in parts of the West this weekend. This is ABC. A century after a climber attempted to scale the world's tallest mountain, a discovery now may help solve a big mystery. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
The boot and sock of famed climber Sandy Irvine, who disappeared with co-climber George Mallory near Everest's peak in 1924, have been found.
Sometimes the greatest discoveries happen when you aren't actually looking for them.
Jimmy Chin, the National Geographic explorer, with his team found the clothing. Whether Irvine and Mallory were the first to reach the summit is debated. Mallory's body was found years ago. Chin hopes by finding Irvine's remains, they may also find his camera and proof. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Kim Jong-un's sister accusing South Korea of purposely avoiding responsibility for those alleged drone flights over the North's capital. The North says there will be terrible calamity if the South continues to send drones carrying anti-North Korea leaflets. South Korea says the North has also sent balloons filled with garbage. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, "You're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote."
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, "What?" And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go
yeah,
vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Voters in swing states like Wisconsin can expect to hear more about the future of the U.S. Supreme Court as a presidential campaign issue. Mike Mohn reports.
In a recent Ipsos poll, 4 in 5 Americans said nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court will be an important factor when casting their ballot. The court and its conservative majority have come under scrutiny over decisions regarding abortion protections and presidential immunity, as well as ethics issues. Joe Hines of the left-leaning advocacy group Stand Up America says with 4 of the 9 justices soon turning 70, another Trump presidency could push the court even further right.
When you're voting this year, you're not just voting for a president, you're not just voting for Congress, you're also voting for generations of decisions that will impact you, your family, your children, your grandchildren's fundamental rights.
A majority of Americans back the idea of Supreme Court term limits, but only a small percentage of Republican voters support expanding the court to 15 justices. Most Democrats embrace that possible reform. Some GOP lawmakers have argued certain changes would be unconstitutional. But advocates like Hines contend there's a huge conflict of interest with the court right now.
We'll continue to hear a lot of cases around voting rights, including probably cases around this very election, cases around the president's power. So they'll be hearing a lot of cases that concern the people that are appointing them.
He notes that a handful of justices taking up these issues, especially matters directly involving former President Donald Trump, were appointed during Trump's term in office. In the same Ipsos poll, more Americans think the court decides cases on the basis of political views than the law. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, slight chance of a sprinkle and a high near 65. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 42. Windy with a chance of showers on Sunday, highs near 57. Chance of showers Sunday night, lows in the mid-30s. For Monday, mostly sunny, 55.
It's 60 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk with the vice president of the Bartell Theater in Madison. Steve Knoll joins me to talk about the scary movies you can see all month, and we discuss the anniversary of Pulp Fiction.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. Folks, we've been talking about moving Wisconsin forward for, you know, like 2 years now. And we are headed like a train at November 5th, 2024. And this could be a great day, or it could be a train wreck day, at least from my point of view here in terms of going forward. But I thought today would be perfect time to bring back on to talk sort of where we're at with Kristen Hansen from Blue Sky.
Waukesha.
Blue Sky Waukesha. Sure I got it right. Sam Liepert, All Voting is Local. So, hi, folks. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? It's a gorgeous day.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And we are just, you know, like I said, this is, we're on a train. It's going fast. And it's either going to be a sweet victory or a train wreck. So, at least that's how I see it, as a longtime progressive and a member of the Wisconsin Election Commission, you know, representing, sitting there as a partisan trying to oversee a nonpartisan agency. But just, you know, tell us a little bit briefly, what's Blue Sky Waukesha and how does it see this election?
Sure. Blue Sky Waukesha is a progressive but nonpartisan organization serving voters across Waukesha County. We do primarily voter education, straight up nonpartisan voter education, but we also do get involved with elections in order to tell people, okay, if you share our values, here are some people you might want to vote for. Here's how you can find out more information about them. There are survey results on our website and links to the candidates' bios and their own social media. So things like that, you know, pure education. We are in a mode right now trying to reach out to voters who might not vote in every election, but we suspect that they share at least some of our values, and we want to make sure they know how to vote, when to vote, where to vote. You know, maybe need that little bit of a nudge this year to say, don't sit this one out because it's so important. Yeah. So we've got a lot of stuff going on, including individuals handwriting postcards to voters, which has been really popular.
So we got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
And we have a lot to talk about Waukesha County.
Yes.
This is a purple county. It has been key in the last few elections, and it's going to be key again. But before we come back to Blue Sky's view of Waukesha, Sam, what, All Voting is Local. What do you got going on, and how do you see Waukesha?
Yeah, hey, thank you, Mark, for having me back on. So, Sam Liebert, I'm the state director for All Voting is Local here in Wisconsin. I'm also from Waukesha. I'm actually in Madison today, but I'm part of that demographic shift that is happening in some of the WOW counties. But for All Voting is Local, we are a nonpartisan organization focused on protecting and expanding access to the ballot box for all eligible voters. Our overall mission is to ensure that elections are fair, secure, and accessible, particularly for our communities who have been historically disenfranchised, right? So such as people of color, young voters, people with disabilities, low-income individuals. We continue to advocate for policies that remove barriers to voting, like restrictive photo voter ID laws. We work to protect the election infrastructure, such as the availability of ballot drop boxes and mail-in options. And so for the upcoming 2024 elections, we are really focused on combating disinformation, ensuring the protection of election workers, maintaining secure and accessible voting options, like I mentioned, mail-in ballots and drop boxes. There's also concerns that attacks on vote by mail will lead to post-election day challenges, potentially undermining the confidence in the process. And so our efforts are really concentrated on voter education, monitoring election certification, and building those relationships with local organizations to safeguard the vote.
So let's take a look at Waukesha from you guys' lens. You're not here as partisans, but how does this November and we have Vice President Kamala Harris head to head with I can't say his name, 45, but that's just my personal.
The former guy.
Yeah, whatever. What's Waukesha looking like? And, which way is it going to break? And what has Blue Sky got to say to it?
I think that Waukesha County has been trending bluer. We're around 60% Republican, 40% Democratic, as far as how people vote. I think that the same situation is going to happen in 2024 as happened in 2020, where more people come out for the Democrat because they want to vote for a Democrat. But we're also going to get a statistically significant portion of Republican voters, traditional Republicans, who just cannot put Donald Trump back in the White House. So, the city of Waukesha was won by Janet Protasiewicz. It was won by the no voters in August who pushed back on a referendum that could have been incredibly dangerous for this state. The trend is continuing that way. We're seeing a lot of support for Kamala Harris around here visually with signs and people knocking doors and all of that. We also have a situation here where we have new maps. So for folks who aren't sure, you should check your ballot on myvote.wi.gov because you might be in a new assembly or Senate district. And that those new maps have given new life to local candidates. So we have a lot more candidates out there knocking doors for themselves and then also talking about Tammy Baldwin and Kamala Harris. So I think there's a new energy here because of that. And that's making a big difference. I think people are having a lot more conversations. We are feeling cautiously, very cautiously optimistic. I am seeing more people than in 2020 or previous years want to do something. Even people who normally say, I vote, I talk about it on social media a little. We're getting a lot of people. I just got another email on my way here. I want to write postcards. I want to help. What can I do? What are some social media messages I can push out? People are really starting to feel like this needs to happen. And I can't stress this enough. And Sam knows what I'm talking about. If this election is tipping on the state of Wisconsin, Waukesha County is the county that the state is tipping on. So we really need to make sure that we're getting out every single voter who wants democracy to remain an American institution and who does not want Donald Trump to be able to choose any more Supreme Court justices. So I think one thing we haven't talked about enough yet, and we need to in the next several weeks, is the Supreme Court. And I know that seems kind of a hard topic for some people to wrap their brains around, but the Supreme Court lately has made such incredibly egregious anti-democratic, anti-civil rights decisions that if people just remember that, and it could get much, much worse. So, you know, trying to balance the optimism with the danger that could happen of another Trump presidency is where we're at right now.
So, Sam, you know, you guys are statewide, but what's it look like in Waukesha right now? Because I really, you know, I share Kristen's view. Waukesha and voters in Waukesha County can make or break this election. And how do you see it?
I mean, yeah, it's Waukesha County is a critical area in Wisconsin's elections, given its historically high voter turnout and its role historically as a Republican stronghold. I know the Democratic Party likes to brag that the third highest number of votes statewide always come out of Waukesha, which is true. Waukesha is just a largely populated county, right? So if the Democrats only get 40%-ish or a little bit more on a regular basis, that's a lot of votes still, right, statewide. And so we've been seeing that trend changing. But, you know, for All Voting is Local, you know, what we're really focused on, especially in Waukesha, is vote by mail and drop boxes. Unfortunately, we've seen a regression with the acceptance of drop boxes or the usage by municipalities. And it unfortunately really started in Waukesha County. We saw Brookfield and New Berlin and Muskego voting to ban drop boxes almost as soon as the Supreme Court this summer decided to allow for them to come back. And so we're seeing a lot of folks, unfortunately, even at the local level, still living in 2020 off of the big lie that somehow the election was rigged or stolen and that the drop boxes were part of that problem. And, you know, unfortunately, really these communities are just, you know, I always think of the term, you know, cutting off their nose to spite their face. You know, these are, you know, conservative strongholds, and they're really just hurting their own voters by not allowing for ballot drop boxes. These really help people who are maybe, you know, single parents, third shift workers, people with differing abilities, and drop boxes really provide that just extra ability and extra tool to allow more ballots to be safely and securely cast.
What has been the response from the public to clerks in Waukesha County not utilizing drop boxes?
It's been overwhelmingly in favor. So take example for Brookfield. When they brought up the vote to ban drop boxes, and unfortunately that passed 10-4, there were scores of folks who came up to speak at the public comment section. 100% of the people that came to speak that evening were in favor of drop boxes. And these weren't outside people. They weren't from Madison or Milwaukee. These were all residents of Brookfield asking their elected officials to reinstate ballot drop boxes.
Folks, drop boxes have been used in Wisconsin for years and years and years. You know, clerks all over the state, small communities have found it that it was a very useful tool to facilitate people getting their ballots back. And why it has become this nemesis is just, you know, part of this craziness. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Sam Liepert, All Voting is Local, Kristen Hansen, Blue Sky
Waukesha.
Blue Sky Waukesha.
Where the skies are blue right now.
We will be back for more. Let's go forward.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're going to do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks' notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step 2. Email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step 3. Now, if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We are here with Kristen Hansen of Blue Sky Waukesha and Sam Liebert of All Voting is Local, two nonpartisan but progressive organizations, and we're trying to focus in on what are the key issues coming into November 5th, 2024 with so much at stake? We're talking about drop boxes and the pushback by some local politicians in response to the municipal clerks being authorized to utilize drop boxes. So, Sam, what are you seeing across the state?
Yeah. So unfortunately, we're seeing bad faith actors who have really no constitutional or statutory authority interfering with our election administration. And like you, as you prime the question, right, it's around the ballot drop boxes. We saw recently the elected sheriff of Dodge County. It's a county close to my heart. I have family in Beaver Dam and Juneau and Fox Lake. And we saw through public open records requests that Sheriff Dale Schmidt was essentially pressuring clerks into not using ballot drop boxes. We've also seen in the city of Wausau, Mayor Dinney, who ran on a platform of being against drop boxes, literally put on a little public works outfit, dressed up like Bob the Builder, and wheeled off the drop box and locked it in his office against the wishes of his clerk, the city attorney, and the city council and the president. And so now we see the mayor there. He returned the ballot drop box. It's now open. Folks in Wausau can use the ballot drop box now. But now also Mayor Dinney is paying a price. He is being investigated by the county, Marathon County DA, the sheriff, the city attorney, and now I believe there is a there's also a complaint before WEC, and also there is a citizen complaint with the Federal Department of Justice Civil Rights Division of voters who say that their vote was deprived, that they should have been able to go and cast a ballot at the drop box and it was taken away from them. So we're now waiting to see how that shoe drops, and to see what law enforcement and the Department of Justice here in Wisconsin and federally have to say about his actions.
You know, this is, to me, this is like the ultimate ironic situation where you had for years and years and years municipal clerks using drop boxes across the state to facilitate voting for everyone. It was truly a nonpartisan act. It was like, we don't care who you're voting for, but this is going to facilitate and make it easier to return your ballots, safer to return your ballots, and encouraging democracy. And now we have, think about it, you have an elected sheriff that is threatening municipal clerks. I mean, where did we come up with this idea of democracy? What's Blue Sky got to say about that?
Blue Sky Waukesha. Thank you, Mark. We have promoted, well, first of all, let's remember that drop boxes existed before the pandemic. But in
that's why I said years and years. Way before there was a Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Way before
folks.
Donald Trump, you know, way took the golden escalator down to destroy the country.
Way before 2016.
But we really started pushing it in 2020 because it was such a safe, effective way for people to return their ballot, and because, sorry to say, sometimes the U.S. mail takes too long, and people will think back to the old days where you thought you could put your something in the mail and it would get across town overnight. It doesn't anymore. So we are telling people to use drop boxes if they are able, if their community has one. We have a list on our website, and we've been pushing on social media the communities in Waukesha County that do have drop boxes, which are all over the board, from the biggest city, Waukesha, to some little villages like Shaniqua. So, you know, it doesn't really have a pattern. But the thing, I used the lockbox here in Waukesha, and, you know, the next day I'm able to go on to my vote and see that, yes, my ballot was received by the clerk. It's such a nice thing. If you put your ballot in the mail, I'm going to say don't put it in longer or closer than a week before the election.
Straight up, folks.
You know, I mean, use that box if you can.
We ran into, if you go back to 2020, I mean, and there was, you know, mail was encouraged. Absentee ballots were encouraged. I mean, back then, the Republicans were all in favor of absentee ballots, mm-hmm. right? I mean, then they lost, and then they decided maybe we don't want people voting.
I think that's important, though, Mark, to point out that this is all based on nonsense. This is all based on a completely false narrative that the Trump campaign came up with to excuse the fact that they lost. None of this is based in reality. There's nothing wrong with drop boxes. There never has been. There are no such thing as ballot mules. There are no such thing as, you know, people pouring bleach into drop boxes and all this craziness. All of this is fake. So much of what Sam and I have to deal with constantly is conspiracy theories based in nonsense that were made up from whole cloth by the Trump campaign. So we need to pull back from that, and please, people, educate yourselves, because most of this is just trying to make it harder for you to vote.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all citizens. We got a responsibility to do our own homework. Look at it historically. Historically, it worked. Municipal clerks used it. It helped democracy. And then you got to ask yourself, why are certain people trying to shut it down? And, you know, this is to you, Sam. I mean, what is it when you have a sheriff who's sworn to uphold the Constitution out there intimidating other elected, right, municipal officers and threatening them? I mean, what kind of democracy is that? Is this just strong arm? What do you got to say?
I mean, it's banana republic, right? I mean, this is like, you know, this is third world, low democracy index type stuff. I mean, up until we had our new maps, I mean, Wisconsin's overall democracy rating was on par with, I think, like the Democratic Republic of Congo, as far as, you know, how your vote counts towards electing a legislature. So now we have these elected constitutional sheriffs who are essentially in bed with election deniers and people who are trying to suppress the vote of certain groups of people, right? We're talking about people of color, we're talking about young people, we're talking about folks who might not be in alignment with the sheriffs. And so,
folks,
we're continuing to watch this.
This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Sam Liepert. All voting is local. Kristen Hansen, Blue Sky, Waukesha. Moving Wisconsin forward. More on the other side. La 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 la. We pray, we pray, we pray.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Just days into recovery efforts after Hurricane Milton, some residents in Florida beginning to return to their neighborhoods. Governor Ron DeSantis says they're trying to streamline the process when it comes to getting fuel and prevent long lines.
Our fuel stations that we're doing, normally Florida, like most states, is self-service. This is full service. You don't have to get out of your car. It's like being in New Jersey. You pull up, these guys pump your gas for you.
In other areas, floodwaters still receding. DeSantis says crews have conducted over 1,000 water rescues. President Biden will be in Florida tomorrow to survey the damage. Vice President Harris released details of her medical exam records today. Her physician in a letter states Harris is in excellent health and able to perform all the duties as president. Former President Trump in Nevada. He'll participate in a roundtable event this afternoon and later heads to California. Severe heat continuing in parts of the West this weekend. This is ABC.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers roll past Rutgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a dominating 42-7 win over Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights defense depleted due to injuries. Wisconsin jumped out to a 14-0 lead in the first half. Head coach Luke Fickell on the Big Ten Network.
I think they're seeing more balance, relying upon those big guys up front. And, you know, I was a little disappointed in the last 2 minutes of that first half that I think we really needed to take advantage of. But we came out the second half and did what we needed to do.
The Badgers now 4-2 with another road game next week against Northwestern. NFL, Packers host the Cardinals Sunday at noon. Romeo Doubs saying he had some personal things going on mentally that led to his one-game suspension last week.
I had some things going on mentally. I do not feel comfortable getting too deep into that. Just, you know, you guys hearing it from me, there are some things I had going on for myself. You know, I did my best communicating, and I'm just thankful that I'm here right now, you know, able to still play ball.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, slight chance of a sprinkle and a high near 65. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 42. Windy with a chance of showers on Sunday, highs near 57. Chance of showers Sunday night, lows in the mid-30s. For Monday, mostly sunny, 55.
It's 60 at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
Autumn is in the air, and like the leaves, prices are falling at Harbor Freight's parking lot sale. Going on now. We've got tons of products on sale, like 3-ton jacks for under $100, 5,000-watt generators $250 off, plus dual bevel miter saws at nearly half the price of the competition. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 10/13/24. While supplies last, so hurry in. Limitations apply.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will review the weekend happenings and look ahead as we count down towards election 2024. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Saturday at 3 p.m. on Civic Media Radio Network, all over the state, folks. But today we are here with Kristen Hansen, Blue Sky Waukesha, and Sam Liebert. All voting is local. You know, November 5th, 2024 is around the corner, folks. If you're not registered to vote, go register. Vote. Get your friends to vote, your neighbors to vote, everybody, because this is all about turnout. This is going to be down to the wire, and it's the side that wins is going to, you know, who shows up. But I, you know, we talked earlier about the importance of the U.S. Supreme Court and president's picks and how the court really can impact democracy and, you know, essentially impact the whole country. I mean, we all know that for 50 years, women had the right to control their bodies and make reproductive decisions with their doctors. And in a blink, due to Trump promising to get rid of it, we had 50 years of human rights wiped out.
Yes. Well, I did. You still have your rights. No offense. You know, I
look at if I respect, you know, the other, you know, the rest of humanity, that it does. Right.
Yeah,
but no, does. I understand that it's personal. Right.
It's very personal. And I will tell you, I was reminded last night at an event that what the Supreme Court did with the Dobbs decision, taking away abortion rights from American women, was additionally egregious because of the way they did it. They said that Americans do not have a constitutional right to privacy. That was the basis on which they took away this right. We also have a right to privacy related to the use of birth control, what kind of sex you want to have, with whom you want to have sex, all of those rights, who you want to marry. They're all based on a right to privacy that this new Trump Supreme Court is telling us we don't actually have and have never had. So they laid out a menu of attacks on women and couples that you might not have a right to birth control anymore. There was a time not that long ago during my mother's life when you had to, if you were a woman and you wanted to get a birth control prescription, you had to prove that your husband was, it was okay with your husband and you were married. Is that what we're going back to here? Are we actually going back to birth control is now on the black market because the United States Supreme Court says we no longer have that right to privacy to control when or if we want to get pregnant? We already know they don't think we have a right to abortion. Are we really going to reverse Loving v. Virginia and say that interracial couples like Sam and his wife are what? Is their marriage going to be just pulled apart? Is their marriage now invalid until we pass a law through this completely gridlocked Congress? This is absolutely a crisis of civil rights in the United States of America in 2024. And it was brought to you by Donald J. Trump.
At the street level in Waukesha County, how do you see that playing out with people and women in particular?
Women are angry. Many women are choosing to do their action to put that anger somewhere positive. I will tell you, I have talked to people who've done canvassing and were speaking to Republican women about the candidates and about the issues and about this issue. And I'm sorry to say this. Their husbands came marching across the lawn, ripped the literature out of their hands, tore it up, and threw the canvasser off their property. There are women in this country who have to vote in private and lie to their husbands about who they voted for because they don't even have control over their own vote in their households. So we have a lot of work to do to bring women's rights back to where it should have been on an upward trajectory if it hadn't been for the Trump years.
So, Sam, all voting is local. You've done a lot of work on voting rights. And how has the Supreme Court impacted voting rights? And what's your vantage there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, let's be really clear, right? Over the past several years, we've seen the Supreme Court roll back some of the critical protections that have defended the right to vote for decades. 2013, Shelby County v. Holder gutted the heart of the Voting Rights Act, allowing states with a history of discrimination to change their voting laws without federal oversight. As a result, we saw a wave of new restrictions, stricter voter ID laws, polling place closures that made it harder for communities of color, elderly and young, to cast ballots. Then in Brnovich v. DNC 2021, the court made it tougher to challenge laws disproportionately that affect minority voters. And then also more recently in Rucho v. Common Cause, the court stepped back from dealing with partisan gerrymandering, allowing politicians to draw districts that undermine fair representation. So, you know, I talk a lot about the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, which has been stalled in Congress. It's so important. It would restore those protections. It would require states with a history of discrimination to get approval before changing voting laws. It would make it easier to challenge laws that suppress the vote. And this is about protecting, like Kristen said, the very foundation of our democracy, making sure that every American, you know, regardless of who they are, has an equal say and direction for our country.
The at the street level, what are you seeing out there, Sam, in terms of how people are responding to these attacks on basic voting rights? Is it a hot issue, or is it still too abstract for many people?
I mean, look, I'm an African American. I'm a person of color, and so I live, eat, breathe, and sleep the rolling back of rights, whether it's voting rights or other rights otherwise. And so I definitely know that the Black and Brown community feel this especially hard. But you know, we're also seeing the younger generation feeling it. I mean, just this past week, thousands of texts went out to college-age voting students all around Wisconsin stating that, did you know that voting in, you know, where you're not, where your residence isn't, is a felony, and you could, you know, spend all this time in jail or pay these fines. And so, you know, we've also got now younger people seeing their rights under attack. I mean, also not just the federal Supreme Court, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I mean, we've seen we saw a lot of rollbacks under the former makeup of the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And then we saw the election of Janet Protasiewicz this past 2 Aprils ago now. And we've seen things like drop boxes come back. We've seen other rights restored that Wisconsinites are really taking for granted for decades. And so elections matter, you know, whether it's the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin or who the president appoints to the federal bench and benches, right? I mean, yeah, think of all the appellate courts and everything else in between. I mean, these people, I can now say this, I'm almost 40. I mean, there's judges being appointed to the bench that are in their 30s and 40s, and they're going to be there until their 70s and 80s. I mean, that's a whole generation or two of policies that they'll be deciding on for a lot of people's, a lot of their lives. And so elections matter and voting rights matter. And, you know, we can't be going back. I mean, we are in a place where, you know, I have 3 kids, a 6, a 3, and a 1-year-old. 2 of them are girls, and they're going to have fewer rights than their mom and dad had just within a span of, you know, 5 or 10 years. And so I think people are waking up to this. There's been a certain group of the country who's been more organized and more thoughtful about judges. And I think the other half of the country is starting to wake up to just how important these judicial appointments and elections, how important they are and what kind of impact they have.
You know, let's sort of take this general topic of elections and let's talk about November 5th. You know, we saw earlier this year where some observers are now becoming more than observers. There is a real concern that there is going to be pushback and interference at polling sites. What are your two organizations? How do you see that playing out? And what steps are being taken to make sure that people can vote timely, vote without harassment.
The entire voting rights advocate landscape is preparing for this and recruiting election observers who will be properly trained and will be, you know, especially alerted to the things that might be happening in certain polling places. I know that there will be people who call themselves election observers, check in as election observers, and the real reason they are there is to try to stop people from voting. We want people to understand that there is a process for challenging a ballot from someone, but it is a very important, serious legal challenge. You can be charged with perjury if you lie and say that you think someone shouldn't be able to vote when you don't know that person at all, and you don't, there's nothing wrong with, you know, with their voting power. But these things will happen, and we will have election observers there who will be trained properly and can call the hotlines and can call the headquarters where the lawyers are sitting and try to put a stop to these. Chief election inspectors have control of their polling places and can remove people who become disruptive to the process of voting. So you don't have to put up with this. If you're standing in line and someone is harassing you who is supposed to be an observer, simply ask for the chief inspector and have that person removed. None of that should be happening. We don't want it to hold up the lines. We don't want it to stop people from voting. You should be able to go and vote unafraid of anyone there stopping you from voting.
Sam, how do you see this playing out?
I mean, the first thing I would say to your listeners is, you know, before or on election day, if you're having issues, if for some reason you're being told you can't vote, I encourage people to go to the League of Women Voters website, vote411.org. There's a ton of great information on there. There's also a phone number, 866-OUR-VOTE. So it's 866-687-8683. And you can call that number anytime, go to the website, and there are folks there who are trained to help you get through the bureaucracy of voting. You know, look, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people, either individuals or groups, who are looking to subdue the vote. They're going to be probably at college campuses. They're going to be in our Black and Brown communities. They're going to be close to, you know, where maybe there's large communities of senior citizens, and doing all they can to confuse, disrupt, and slow down the process of voting. And so we need to make sure that people are vigilant and stay on top of their voter registration. Get ahead of it now. Even though we have same day registration, go to myvote.wi.gov right now. Get registered to vote. If you don't know what your plans are on election day, vote by mail. If it's within a week and you get your ballot, return it either by the ballot drop box or hand it in person to the clerk. This election is so important. Your voice matters. And, you know, we can't let anti-democratic forces win the day. It's just, we've got too much on the line.
So if there are folks out there that would want to help you on this project, what do they do?
They can go to blueskywaukesha.org and send us a note and tell us that they want to be an election observer, and we'll get them training.
Sam, how about you? Statewide, what are you guys doing?
We work in close coalition with the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. So I would encourage folks to go to my.wlv.org/Wisconsin, and you can sign up to be a poll observer.
Folks, also remember, you can contact the staff at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They have brochures on how to properly challenge and what's a bad challenge. But register to vote and plan on voting. And please, folks, when you vote, let's go forward and let's not go back to the late or early 1800s, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. Attorney Mark Thompson. Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across all of Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We're talking about November 5th, 2024, how to keep Wisconsin moving forward. I'm here with Sam Liebert, All Voting is Local, and Kristen Hansen of Blue Sky Waukesha. Waukesha, the county that could make or break where Wisconsin goes and where the country goes. Think about that,
no
folks.
No pressure.
Think about that, folks. You do not want to sit this one out, okay? Your vote could make the difference. I mean, it's mind-boggling, right? The difference in a presidential election of such magnitude. So we have this referendum that's on the ballot on local. Tell us about it, one of you guys.
I don't know, Sam, do you want to take that or should I?
Go for it.
All right, here's the deal. This referendum is placed on your ballot with no context. It says that there's that the Wisconsin Constitution should be changed to say that only citizens can vote. The Constitution already says every citizen can vote. You know, that's a semantic difference there, but could make a big difference in the future. We don't know. The question I would ask myself is, why did the Republican legislature, and I say that because this was passed purely by Republicans, because they knew Tony Evers wouldn't sign a law about it, so they just made it a referendum for the on a ballot. Why would they bother if they didn't have some ulterior motive? So I'm very suspicious of it. You should be suspicious of it. There is no reason for it to be there, except that the one of the key narratives of the Republican Party's campaigns this year is anti-immigrant sentiment. So They are, it's a boogeyman to scare people. And they put this nonsense referendum on the ballot because of it. Our Constitution already uses the word citizen in relation to voting. So this is suspicious. And I don't want us to go down the road of some other states where you end up with a bunch of expensive litigation over it.
So, Kristen, I think this is more than suspicious. Okay,
go for it, Mark.
No, let's call it out for what it is. You know, I've been voting many, many, many years. As long as I've been an adult, and it's a long time, only citizens voted in Wisconsin. It is like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
The Constitution says every citizen has the right to vote. So why would you put in
this nonsense unless you're just feeding the hate machine. Mm-hmm. Look, my grandpa immigrated from Denmark. My wife's parents came from Sweden. This country, other than if you're, you know, a child of a former slave, are immigrants, right? Or you're Native American, you were here.
Right.
Right. You were either forcefully brought here in boats or you were an immigrant. And, you know, since the Civil War, we set out everybody that lives here is a citizen can vote. I mean, you know, I didn't forget that women weren't counted as citizens until the, you know, late 1919, right?
But, right.
But I mean, think about it. It's been over 100 years. If you're 18 and a citizen, you can vote in Wisconsin, and everyone knows you got to be a citizen.
Everyone knows that, and everyone swears to that when they register to vote.
Okay, so why are you going to whip this up unless you're whipping up hatred? Hatred. I mean, and I just, you know, immigrants right now, primarily from Latin America, you know, is what keeps the dairy industry alive in this state where we say we are the dairy state, right? I mean, people wouldn't be milking cows without immigrants. I mean, my brother builds homes in Phoenix, Arizona. He hasn't found white folks that were willing to pound nails in the desert for a quarter century. I mean, it is Latinos have built every new home in in Phoenix for the last quarter century. And I don't know what this hate is all about other than saying, look, we do want to go back to a country pre-1865 where only certain white men had any rights, right? I mean, it's really time to, I guess, now I'm just preaching too much, but it really upsets me because this it is a phony issue meant to divide us rather than put us together. I mean, it takes us back, not forward. So, Sam, what can you say about it?
I mean, yeah, this is fueled by anti-immigrant sentiment. It's part of a larger trend to scapegoat immigrants and minority communities using racist tropes about voter fraud and illegal voting. You know, look, you know, at the end of the day, like Kristen said, yes, when you register to vote and you go to vote, you attest under penalty of law that you are a citizen. And we also have voter ID laws and proof of residency. We have all these checks and balances. Immigrants who are here, whether they are here documented or not, I mean, they're not going to risk their possible pathway to citizenship by casting a ballot. It's just not happening. And the thing is if this does pass, it could implement new administrative ways for proving citizenship. The Brennan Center did a report that showed that about 7% of all American citizens do not readily have access to the documents they would need to prove they are a citizen, whether that's a passport or birth certificate. So this is just going to not only increase the potential hate that's out there, but it's also going to hurt qualified citizens who can't and don't have readily access availability to their passport or their birth certificate.
Folks, November 5th, 2024, a historic election. Register, educate yourself. And I'm going to say and ask you and begging you, vote blue down the ticket. If you really believe in Wisconsin's motto of forward, this time around, it's vote blue down the ticket, top to the bottom.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, the group Veterans for Responsible Leadership weighs in on what vets should be thinking about before casting a ballot next month.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say.
It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wi.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.